Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-ESPN. Texter is she, Alex Earl, who the Dixie Chicks were singing about. I don't think so.
Probably not.
Didn't they change their name,
the
too?
Chicks.
Didn't they have to get
just the Chicks?
They got rid of the Dixie?
Yeah.
I thought they did that a long time ago.
Well, they have done it. It was quite a while ago they did that.
No, I don't think the Chicks were singing about Earl needing to die.
No.
Alex, how does that song go? Alex gotta die, something like that. It's not a good song.
No, it's not. It's all about killing Earl.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think they were singing about that Earl. Oh, yeah, it's Earl, not Alex, for sure. Yeah, the only way that I know her is because, you know, I rub elbows with, you know, TikTok influencers and social media stars.
You run in the same circles?
She was asking me for advice on how to TikTok properly, and, you know, I like to help out. Key on a banner. It's a different number, don't worry. He says it's the O-line. Can they hold up against the Rams? I don't know. It's like CJ's getting set up to feel, as one will say. I thought that your spelling's terrible, Texter. I thought the Texans' offensive line, according to what we heard from people, actually held up pretty good.
Everything, well, I think it's twofold. I think everything in pass protection, there were a couple where CJ would have been hit, but overall, everything that I saw was that the pass protection held up really well.
Yeah, I thought that, for the most part, I was pretty pleased with what I was reading about the offensive line in the few videos that I saw. What else did you have? What has piqued Blanker's interest?
Throw the fact that I forgot to mention that Christian Kirk had a couple of good catches today too. So Christian Kirk, we're not hearing as much about him because we already penciled him in. They know what he can do, but he played well again today. I think that, you know, now that we're seeing it against other competition, and granted it is Bryce Young and the Panthers, but the secondary seems to be playing well no matter who they play against. And Stingley had a pick six, and that he and Lassiter were really, really locking down after practice. Canales was talking about the fact that they were blanketed all day, their receivers.
I like the secondary. Do you think the Panthers are going to be better than what's expected?
I think they might be sneaky.
Yeah, I think they're going to be sneaky.
Do we know what their Vegas win total is?
I do. I have it. I wrote all these down today. We're going to be starting our divisional previews in the NFL. We're going to do one every Thursday and one every Friday into the build up of the NFL season. Today we're going to be looking at the NFC North. But I went and I did all my predictions today, and I wrote down the over under.
I thought we're doing the NFC East these today.
Are we going to do NFC East? That's fine. Yeah, NFC East. I misspoke. You're right. It was NFC East. I don't know what happened to my my pages here. They went away.
I while you're looking for it, I had, aside from the secondary, I had the fact that
6.5.
We were talking about fullbacks, and Johnson looks like the guy that they would keep as a fullback, but they were using Stover all over the field today, and he was Mack trucking some people.
I saw a video of a decleater. The defender kind of slipped.
There was a couple where
a pretty good pop, though.
Sure, but
it was.
He had lost his footing.
Well, there was a guy in the Panthers that caught Hutchinson going across the middle,
yeah,
and drilled him too. Fight nearly broke out.
Yeah,
nearly broke. I wish they would have fought.
And I just thought I saw Stover a couple times as a lead blocker, regardless of whether he depleted anybody, that he was moving some people and creating some space for the running back. So I thought that was good. And Ursary continues to impress. I mean, no matter where they use him, he just seems to be a guy that stands out.
Where should they use him, though? I think that's where the conversation
is. See, that's interesting because it's almost like this Cam Robinson injury, and thankfully it's not season ending or anything like that. But I think it really opened people's eyes early, the fact that he's versatile, he can play both tackle positions, and that he might be ready for primetime week one. Now it's like, okay, well, you and I talked about it I think it was either earlier this week or late last week. Like, if we know he's going to be the left tackle of the future, do you just start him there? Or do you just for – and I guess then you just start him at left tackle and Howard plays right tackle?
What would you do?
Right now, because I don't know that Cam Robinson, even at 100% health, and I know they paid him, and I know he was highly regarded of the available offensive linemen, I'll put him at left tackle and I'll leave him there.
I'm on the same boat with you. He's your second-round pick. You traded up to get him. He's your current – your second left tackle behind Cam Robinson. He's starting on the other side of the line. You only have Robinson under contract for 1 year. You've committed to at least 4 years of Ursary, potentially more if you give him a second contract. I'm just playing Ursary at left tackle, and if Cam can beat out whoever is at right tackle, right now it's Titus Howard, great. If he can't, sorry, I'm only committed to a year of you anyways. Ursary would be my left tackle. I'm committing to it. Just go for it, man. Let's see what it looks like.
It's arguably the most important position on the entire offensive line. If he can play left tackle for you, and you've got a guy that can play right tackle for you because they like and they seem to really like Tomlinson at left guard, and Andrews, whoever you pick at center, but it looks like Andrews is going to be your center, then it's just a matter of your right guard and who figure out who wins that battle. But the line's pretty solid.
The line that I want is Ursary at left tackle, Tomlinson at left guard, Andrews at center, Howard at right guard, and I want Cam Robinson to play right tackle. I want him to be the guy that has to change positions, not my future franchise left tackle.
Don't you feel like they'd force feed Fisher there?
Over Robinson? No.
No. I don't think Robinson's going to want to play it.
I think there's a better chance I think there's a better chance that Fisher's cut than him being the starting right tackle, assuming health. Yeah. I mean, Cam Robinson don't want to play it. Sorry, man. You're not playing in the NFL then. Also, this is beneficial to Cam Robinson. As the texter pointed out the other day, Robinson is getting closer and closer to not being a starting left tackle in the NFL. If he can prove that he can play right tackle, it opens up twice as many starting offensive line opportunities. And then also it creates maybe an extra 2-3 years to his career because he can be a swing tackle. Cam Robinson, you're my right tackle. You want to gripe about it? See ya. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think from his perspective, if he's looking for any other, you know, contract, he's got to show versatility at this point in his career.
Yeah, I think it'd be beneficial. It's like Correa moving to third. All right, what did you peek?
Joel mentioned one of mine. I mean, that Cade Stover video was pretty awesome with the block there. I know you're poo-pooing a little bit, but it's something that I think unlocks more from that position than I possibly thought they had. If he's a plus run blocker and you add that to that room, especially now that Brevin Jordan's down, maybe you could get a little bit more from that position than I thought beforehand. And then just everything I've read, especially from Jonathan Alexander, was that the offense had one of its better days. CJ didn't get hit as much. There were some touchdown passes to Nico and Christian Kirk. So encouraging sign there that, you know, once the weight was taken off the bat of facing the Texans defense every day, they got to face another defense that it actually did. Because it was fine in theory of, well, once you face another defense, the offense will improve. But it was nice to see the actual example of that.
An acceptable day. And look, I don't want to poo-poo Cade Stover as a blocker. I think he's really good as a blocker, as a tight end, especially run blocking. So I don't want to poo-poo that. I thought people were magnifying the highlight a little bit too much. But it's not diminishing what I think of Cade Stover as a blocker. I think he is a very good blocker, even though he wants to, you know, raise cattle and sell meat professionally.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it. I admire it. I'm going to order some of his meat, I think. What were you going
to
say?
I think overall, Brian's right. It was nice to see the offense having success. But the problem was that I think from a running perspective, as good as the pass blocking kind of held together, I think their run blocking wasn't great.
Yeah. Stover at center. Who they're playing at running back could be a factor there, too. Like, you're without your best two running backs, Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce.
Yeah, depending on how you feel about Chubb, I would still think that Chubb's number two.
I was just putting that out there to see how I cash or trash. Let me make sure I didn't write this down for my cash or trash later. Oh, Dana, I did. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Actually, I had something else, but I can relate that. So we good? We've piqued our interest at Texans camp?
I think so.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Bill Simmons has a quarterback pyramid. You know, he tiers all his quarterbacks. Bill Simmons, stick to basketball, Bill. You don't know football. We'll discuss this next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. All the greatness that it does exist of Walmart. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has more than a half a billion items online? Find a huge selection online that you can't even find in stores. Head now to Walmart.com and start browsing those half a billion items. We use Walmart.com all the time for our grocery delivery. It's fantastic. It's awesome. Brandon family loves it. We don't have a ton of time. We don't want to spend the time that we do have at the store. We'd rather spend it with our family, our kids, our loved ones. Not at the grocery store. We don't like to mess around with the crowd. We don't like to miss the ballgame. Well, at least I don't like to miss the ballgame. So we order online with Walmart. We always get the groceries we need without having to leave the house. It's fantastic. And it's not more expensive either. I know what some of you are thinking. Online grocery shopping costs more. No, you're wrong. I know what you're saying, but it's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store, and we know, because it's Walmart, that the prices are low. They're fast, too. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. Going online at Walmart.com and ordering the groceries I need is faster than going to the grocery store and getting the groceries I need, and I don't have to waste time. I don't have to be out and about. They're going to save you time. Use Express Delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods to prescriptions. Walmart is simply changing the game. When it comes to feeding your family, hosting the buddies over for a tailgate, maybe you're throwing a party, think Walmart for all of those grocery needs. Start an order today at Walmart.com.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Some people that act like they know ball just don't know ball. Posers. Kind of like me. Bill Simmons, he has his quarterback pyramid out from the Ringer. He goes to the Ringer to watch football. But his tiers are pretty bad. He has Josh Allen alone at the top. I mean, I guess he likes regular season quarterbacks who are going to win fantasy championships but never sniff the Lombardi. I guess that's what Bill Simmons is into. That's his kind of guy. So he has Josh Allen alone at the top, which is criminal. Criminal. His second tier, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Any issues?
No.
No.
I see one.
That's right, Brian.
Glaring one.
Oh, well, Hurts should be up with the second tier, but.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The disrespect to
this
Hurts
is
here.
Yeah, this is.
Okay, you like Josh Allen. If you were doing a Ringer, no, Joel Allen. Blank quarterback pyramid, who would be at the top of your pyramid?
We've talked about it before. Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that anybody, no matter what the other guys do, is going to knock Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, off the first tier right now.
I really don't have a huge issue with the second tier.
It just needs to add one.
And Mahomes should be top tier. Like, Mahomes should be top tier. Allen should be second tier. And then I would add Hurts. Like,
right.
That to me is the issue here. His third tier, you're going to love this. Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, and no left thumb Jordan Love. Jordan Love's in the same tier as Jalen Hurts, a Super Bowl champion.
So
a two-time Super Bowl participant. Purdy 2 years ago was pretty really good.
He should not be pretty, anywhere really on the same tier as Jalen Hurts.
Purdy and Agreed. Love don't Agreed. Belong okay. on that Agreed. Tier,
yeah.
period.
Like if,
100%. But if Hurts was promoted, Jaden Daniels shouldn't be in the same conversation as Love and Purdy either.
No.
Daniels
no.
should be ahead of them.
He's a different tier than those
Stafford
two guys.
Could be up there.
Would you have Daniels on the same tier as Mahomes, Lamar, and Burrow?
No way. See, not after 1 year.
Like, I feel like there needs to be another tier squished in between
yep.
here.
Yep.
That might only be Jaden Daniels, though. Depending on what you think of Jalen Hurts, it might just be the Jaden Daniels tier.
He just has to prove it?
Daniels isn't – well, I mean, you're going to put Daniels with Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow, and Hurts?
No, I'm not putting him that high. I'm saying to be on a tier by himself right below them, does he have to do – because, we kind of did this with CJ after his rookie year. After his rookie year, we were ready to put him at a pretty high level, and then there was a bit of a drop-off because of the numbers. But when you look at it, does Daniels have to, like – verify it.
I don't think so.
No, like, because he'd be like tier four at
this
that
isn't,
point.
This isn't like a tier at the top. This is a tier in like the upper middle. Because he's to me, he's not in the Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow, Hurts conversation.
Agreed.
But I also don't think he shouldn't stoop to the level of Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Baker Mayfield, Herbert. Matthew Stafford. Like I think that's why he should have the tier in the middle to himself. It's not really the middle. It's upper middle.
I think Stafford's above a lot of the guys you rattled off still.
Is his back, though?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, don't speak on what you don't know, Brian, about the mobile home that's also a
chamber. Fine speaking on things I don't know about.
I might overrate Matthew Stafford slightly with where he's currently at in his career. Certainly the past is the past, and the back of the baseball card is the back of the baseball card. But I think we're Jose Abreu-ing Matthew Stafford a bit.
I think the other thing that goes with it, though, it's not just Matthew Stafford at this point. It's the fact that you've got McVay and that offense and I don't think so, because I think that if he was other teams and the offense was different, then it might be even more so that there'd be more on him. And I think that it would be more you could easily say he could possibly be falling off. I think the way he fits into that offense, and you just added Devontae Adams and another weapon.
He's great because they added another receiver.
No, I think that the system, the coach, and everything around him.
You're kind of making a game manager argument.
Well, that's what Brock Purdy is.
Agree, but I mean, if you're saying Stafford is above that, then you can't really make a game manager argument.
No, I'm saying that because of all those things, and Stafford, I still think, is still at a good point in his career where he can still put up numbers, that I think that he still is up on a level that was some of the guys that he rattled off.
I don't know.
I think Stafford's better than Jordan Love right now.
Sure.
No, yeah, I agree with that. I think Stafford is kind of game manager plus at this
I think
point.
Stafford's better than Purdy. I think Stafford's better than Baker Mayfield.
Give me Purdy.
I would take Baker in a heartbeat.
I don't know if I can't remember what I had in my top 10. I can't remember what I had. I can't remember my top 10. I'm not sure I had Purdy above Stafford.
Well, we didn't have Purdy. Yeah, we didn't have Purdy.
I don't think I had Stafford, though, either. So, like, that's my call.
Right, that's true.
Is that I didn't have Stafford.
Did you?
Yeah, we both had Stafford, yeah.
Stafford, to me, he's on the back nine of his career, and he's way closer to the end than he is the peak. Do I still think he's capable and solid? Yes. Do I think he's top 10? No. I don't think he's top 10 anymore. And like he had a solid year last year. Like, you're not going to sneeze at 3,700 yards, but 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions is kind of pedestrian. Played in every single game with a very offensive, happy team. It's okay. Not bad.
Yeah, but he was missing Puka and I think, didn't Puka miss like 5-6 games last year? And Cooper Kupp missed like half the season.
Yeah, but McVay's a wunderkind. He's a genius.
Yeah, but no wide receivers is going to.
I think I think we overrate Stafford a little bit because of where he's at.
That I agree, but I'm just saying, like, to come to Stafford's defense, like, he was missing not quite C.J. Stroud levels, but he was missing his weapons.
So the fourth tier has Stafford. Fourth tier: Stafford, Baker, Dak, Stroud, Goff, Herbert. I'm not terribly displeased with that tier. I think that tier's all right.
The one he got the most right.
And I'm okay with Stroud keeping that company. Like, that's fine.
Is it more, because I'm with you on that part of it, but is it, when you look at it, to say that where it's more of a question is because of the guys that are above that tier, like Purdy?
Look, Purdy 2 years ago was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable 2 years ago. You go look at every single major passing category 2 years ago, Brock Purdy's top five at all of them. All of them. Now, last year he wasn't as good, but if we're going to give Stafford benefit of the doubt because of injuries, you have to do the same thing with Purdy. They were missing the best offensive weapon maybe in the entire NFL.
And McCaffrey, yeah.
So they also missed Ayuk, who got hurt right at the start of the season. I'm sure Debo missed a couple games because Debo always misses a couple games. Ricky Pearsall, who was their first-round draft pick, got shot and missed games. So, like, you can't pick and choose which quarterbacks you're going to give injury benefit of the doubt to, and then others that you don't give that benefit of the doubt to. I would say Purdy was more impacted by injury than Stafford.
I just think that Brock Purdy is a guy that's been labeled a game manager. Yeah, you're right. And, again, that's another one where system for him gets more credit than his abilities do. And I'm not saying that's fair, because I think he's done a hell of a job there. But I think that's why, even when his contract, in the offseason, when his contract was being discussed, that people didn't think that he deserved the kind of top-tier money that the top quarterbacks were getting.
What did the 49ers say, though?
I think they were kind of between a rock and a hard place. Where do they go if they move on from it?
So we trust what people were saying about it more than the team that actually gave them the money.
Like I said, if you're caught in that situation, it's a dilemma like the Packers were. You basically have to answer the question of where do we go from here if it's not him. So they basically did what the Packers did and just said, the lesser of two evils is we're just going to pay him and see what we got and try and get less years.
I like Purdy more than most, and I probably dislike Stafford more than most just because of where he's at in his career going into 2025. And dude can't even sniff a practice field. Like, I think he'll be back by the start of the year. I don't think he's in jeopardy of missing week one. But it's getting closer and closer, and he can't return. They were saying he should return on Saturday. I saw Sarah Barshop, used to be in Houston, say that.
He said that with not much confidence.
I don't think I got it right. I don't think it's Barshop. I think it might be Barshop.
We used to have around the
Is
show.
Is there an S in it?
No, it's Barshop.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. Next tier, Sam Darnold, Drake May, Bo Nix, Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, Tua. I don't feel great about Darnold being in this tier. I don't feel great about Tua being in this tier. I would drop both of those guys down a peg. I'm cool with the rest of them, though. I'm okay with that, with May, Nix, Geno, Kyler. But I would drop Tua and Darnold.
Yeah, at this point, with what you have left, I think that the other guys belong on that list, either being up and coming or guys that Geno Smith, look, no matter what I think or other people think may think of Geno Smith, Geno Smith has carved out a heck of a good career for himself and Kyler Murray as well. So, yeah, I think that Darnold only did it for 1 year, and Tua's a guy that a lot of people are going to call his bluff on how good he really is. I think Tua's worthy of being on that tier.
All right, next one, they have Michael Penix, Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, J.J. McCarthy, Cam Ward. Anything egregious to you?
No.
I don't like J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Caleb Williams being on the same tier as Trevor Lawrence. I know Trevor Lawrence hasn't done amazing things, but he's had...
You'd have Lawrence higher.
Yeah, I would have Lawrence higher. He's had at least a year and a half, way more production than those other guys that we listed.
It's fair. Fair, but it's going into the 25 season.
Yeah,
this isn't back a baseball card.
Maybe that's how my argument sounded. But if I was to pick who I would want going forward, I would pick Trevor Lawrence over Caleb. I'd pick him over McCarthy, and I'd pick him over Penix.
I'm insulted as a Jalen Hurts advocate in this, but the worst tier might be the bottom tier: Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Colts, Browns, Saints. That is so disrespectful to Fields, Rodgers, and Wilson that they're being in the same tier as the Colts, Brown, and the Saints. It's disrespectful. It should not happen. You should have had another bottom tier on top of this and put the Colts, Brown, Saints in that tier. Fields, Rodgers, and Wilson are way above that tier, the bottom tier it should be.
Yeah, I think as much as you guys give me a hard time about Rodgers, I think Rodgers, he's not going to have a blow-your-doors-off season. But I think that he's got a lot of weapons around him now. I think he's going to be good. I think he's definitely worthy of being over Fields, Russ, and those three other teams.
Yeah. Texter Daniels went to the NFC Championship in his second year. I like Daniels. Did I read that wrong?
No, that's what they said, but it was his rookie year.
Yeah, it was his rookie year. You're right. It did text that. I'll read anything. Put anything in front of a teleprompter. I'm Ron Burgundy. I'm Charles Barkley, and I'm a 713-780-ESPN. Israel says Trevor is garbage emoji. Josh from Philly, cash or trash. Tanner McKee gets traded and starts somewhere as a quarterback one for another team in the event of a good quarterback going down. I'm going to trash that.
I'll trash it as well.
Now, he's had a good preseason, but I don't think Philadelphia really wants to trade him. Like, he's got more value, I think, as their backup quarterback than getting a mid to late draft pick for him. I don't think he gets traded, but he has looked good this preseason. Mm-hmm. My dad used to be this biggest Tanner McKee fan ever. He's like, the Texans should have drafted Tanner McKee instead of Davis Mills. I'm like, what? Who cares?
Is your dad Keith from LA?
I was like, who cares about Tanner Sounds McKee?
Like, the only thing that separates that from a Keith from LA take is the age of the player.
I mean, he's been kind of right about it though. So it's like, that's a weird take to have, but you've been kind of right. Branham, if you're going to put Hurts on the second tier, you have to put Matt Stafford in the second tier. They both won a Super Bowl. Okay, like when they won a Super Bowl doesn't matter here. It didn't matter that Stafford won his multiple years ago and Hurts won his last year. It doesn't matter that Hurts went to a Super Bowl a couple years ago as well. Because they win, they had the same amount of Super Bowls, they should be on the same tier. What's Peyton Manning up to? He won two. He should be on the top.
Just look at your last tier. Russ, too.
Yeah.
Take Russ and take Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Say, well, that means because they've each one, you got to elevate them too to the same level.
Super Bowl doesn't matter, huh? It doesn't matter what year it happened.
That's a dumb take.
Ranking quarterbacks by Super Bowl wins is silly. Also, everyone making excuses for Burrow with all his weapons, but criticize other quarterbacks playing with less. I saw Brady getting on Burrow the other day about this.
He got on a lot of people.
Burrow still had unbelievable games, like, and his defense was trash. Like,
it wasn't Burrow costing them games. It wasn't like
their defense sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Like that take that the Texter gave kind of falls apart because it's not like, well, he's got a ton of weapons, but he was the one that made the crucial mistake. No, they scored 33 points. The defense gave up 35. You know, that's what happened last year.
And I used to have that same take too, that we shouldn't really look at quarterbacks based on wins or Super Bowl wins. But if you look at the Super Bowl winners, like in the really since Trent Dilfer, with maybe one exception being Nick Foles, these quarterbacks are legit. It's like, just go look at the past
Brad Johnson,
Super Bowl champions.
Though?
That's before.
That was when did Brad Johnson
Brad
win
Johnson
his?
Was after Trent Dilfer.
Okay, well then maybe the Brad Johnson is the line of demarcation here. Because when did Brad Johnson win his?
03, I think.
That's over 20 years ago.
I'm just saying, after Trent Dilfer.
Last 20 years.
Okay.
Last 20 years, I think there's been one quarterback you look at and you're like, okay, like that team won it. And that would have been Nick Foles.
Right.
Because last year, Jalen Hurts, certainly worthy. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, Stafford, Brady, Mahomes, Brady, Foles, Brady, Manning, Brady, Russell Wilson when he was really good, Flacco when he was elite.
Oh, God.
He didn't throw an interception that postseason.
Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Eli Manning. Aaron Rodgers. Eli Manning was pretty good when he was good. And his last name's Manning, so we boost him up.
He was good in the sense that Joe Flacco was good in that postseason.
Probably.
He's more Joe Flacco than he is Peyton.
But I give credit for stepping up when his team needed him both.
But he's a Super Bowl worthy winner. He's not Trent Dilfer.
I guess.
Brad Johnson actually had a good year that year, but he's not Brad Johnson.
Right.
Like Eli Manning's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Not mine.
I hate it, but he's going to eventually get
it. Probably.
If his last name was Williams, he would not be in the Hall of Fame. He might be, though.
He might be,
because he still racked up tons of yards and won two titles. He still might be. Now, Manning makes it, you know, slam dunk. Makes
unfortunately.
Green Bay, I mean, this is Rodgers. Saints with Breeze. Steelers with Big Ben. Giants again with Eli. Indy with Manning. Steelers with Big Ben. Brady, and then 03. Brad Johnson. It's like, oh, you can't count Super Bowl wins. Every single quarterback in the last 20 years that has won it all, with the exception of Big Nick Foles, has been Super Bowl winning worthy. Like, I disagree. I think you have to have a great quarterback, really good quarterback, to win the Super Bowl. You can get by with really, really good.
Yeah, my only nitpick would be that first year the Steelers won it, Roethlisberger wasn't good.
You're right. He wasn't who he was yet. That was more of a Trent Dilfer winning it with the defense, handing it off to Bettis. They had another back too.
I don't remember the other back.
They had another back who was good.
I remember obviously they had Randall Elf through a touchdown pass in that Super Bowl.
That's right. But all of these quarterbacks for the last 20 years, good, 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 good. So I don't like the argument of you can't look at Super Bowl wins. The class is pretty good, my friend. That fraternity's pretty good. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. I think we're talking about the chicken and the egg when we're talking about a great quarterback or a great team. The last, you listed a lot of those quarterbacks, and probably in the last 20 years, most of those quarterbacks had or have somebody going into the Hall of Fame on the outside, or somebody going to the Hall of Fame on the offensive line, somebody going to the Hall of Fame as a running back or tight end or whatever. Not to count, some of them had top 10 or top 15 defenses. So when they were arguing about the Jalen Hurts, and I think the muddy in the water is when everybody tries to find numbers, touchdown completion percentages, lack of interceptions, and those type of numbers. But the thing is, the reason Allen and Lamar would back out and take a back seat is because, again, each one of those quarterbacks are great. They would be great, but nobody's talking about Dan Marino. Those Super Bowls do matter. Even Dan Marino had Duper and Clayton. Without the weapons, and that's what they penalized, I think Cam Newton did, penalized Jalen Hurts. But look who's throwing to. None of those kids are Hall of Famers yet, and maybe not getting the Hall of Fame. Everybody you've named have Hall of Famers on each level, whether it's the center, the tackle, the tight end, the fullback, the wideouts. Peyton Manning threw to Marvin Harrison, Adrian James in the backfield. Everybody, Drew Brees, you can't name me a quarterback, not you guys, that didn't have weapons that helped them be great. They helped each other. Steve Young and Joe Montana threw to Jerry Rice. I mean, so we will never know, but we give everybody credit. What made them great is they got one or two of Eli. All of them. If you won a Super Bowl, in my book, that bodes well for me. It doesn't matter, like you said, about what's his name, Allen, the boy wonder in the regular season. Dak Prescott, the boy wonder in the regular season. All those people that should be thrown in the abyss. If you won a Super Bowl and then you've gotten your team to a Super Bowl, I start with that because the winning, and that's why those other guys are great. Not just by their numbers.
Preach. Preach.
By how they manage their team.
Appreciate it, Gary. I could not agree more. I think it's a wonderful take.
Rack 'em.
Could not agree more, Gary.
I think the key with Manning is good too, and he was MVP of both Super Bowls too.
Helps. It helps. Yeah. You got to have the other caveat to this, the other like, oh, by the way point, you better have really good quarterback play in the NFL.
Yeah.
You can't underrate the
I didn't realize it was
position.
That when you rattled off all those names, I didn't realize that, yeah, besides from Foles, that there isn't one guy that you wouldn't put like really, really high on like all-time top list.
Adding one more yeah but to it, the second Peyton Manning Super Bowl, he had no throwing arm.
Still Manning, my man. Still
okay, the name
Manning.
On the back of the jersey was still the same, but he was barely outplaying Brock
Osweiler.
Still
called Osweiler
that he was. He was. They almost benched him for Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
Brian is right about that.
Every interception has a story.
Now, the first, like, if you flip it, like, you look at the first 20 years, like, prior to the ones we just talked about, God. You could get by without a great quarterback. The game has changed. The game is much different in the 2000s than it was in the previous century. Previous century, you could get by with mediocre quarterback play. Have a great defense, have a great running back, throw it 10 times a game. I'm being a little bit facetious, but you could get by with poor quarterback
play. You sure could.
Back then. You can't do it anymore. Can't do it, won't
pass,
do it.
Yeah, it's so pass happy. What, Jeff Hostetler won one?
Yeah, we got hurt. Sims got hurt. I mean, even Frank Reich is the guy who led the comeback against the Oilers. Got to the Super Bowl.
Who was the quarterback who won two Super Bowls with the Raiders in the 80s? I'm forgetting his name.
Plunkett,
yeah.
Plunkett was the number one pick and a Heisman Trophy winner, though.
And I think Washington won. There's three Super Bowls. There were three Theismann? Different quarterbacks. It was Mark Ripken, Theismann, and Doug Williams, yeah. Three different quarterbacks, yeah.
There you go. Much different game nowadays. All right, 713-780-ESPN. More hate on Jalen Hurts, and I just will not stand for it. I'm not going to stand for this. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. To the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
More from the Jalen Hurts hate. I'm not going to allow this. He's a fellow Houstonian-ish. Channel View is Houston. That's greater Houston area.
For sure.
We love Jalen Hurts around these parts. The Athletic, they had their quarterback tiers. They had Jalen Hurts tied for ninth. With some bum that cries on the field.
Go Texas.
I'm just kidding about that last part. But they had Hurts behind Mahomes. No issue there. Burrow, I have Hurts ahead of Burrow. They have Josh Allen ahead of them. They have Lamar Jackson ahead of them. They have Matthew Stafford 5. I think you made this list, Blankers. Daniel 6, Herbert 7, Goff 8. How is Hurts behind Goff, Herbert, Stafford at the very minimum? At the very minimum. Makes no sense.
Jalen Hurts is better than Jared Goff.
It's and ridiculous. Who else did you say? I like Goff. I think Goff is the second most underrated quarterback in the NFL. Behind Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is the most underrated. So they have Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Jackson, Stafford, Daniels, Herbert, Goff, and then CJ and Hurts are tied.
Like, not only is Stafford fifth, but he's in the first tier. So they're in a way saying he's equal to Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
I'm not going to stand for this. I will not stand for this.
I thought I was high on Stafford. I had him, I think, ninth in my ranking. They've got him up fifth.
All these Bill Simmons of the world, these Bill Sandoz of the world. Do you know who was praising Jalen Hurts the other day? Hall of Fame quarterback that knows a thing or two, like me, about quarterbacking. Peyton Manning talking about Jalen Hurts. He's played so well in both of the Super Bowls, but I like the way he goes about it. Calls me and asks me a lot of questions. They run plays that we used to run because, you know, the coaching tree is kind of similar. Student of the game. He also mentioned that he squats 600 pounds. I don't know why that's relevant, but he says why, I guess. He can run over guys, he can throw it a mile, but his appreciation of the cerebral part of the game is what is impressive to me and how he's taken his game to the next level. I think the sky is the limit for this guy. You know who else we used to bash back in the day for having, like, mediocre athletic traits? Like, he didn't throw the hardest, his accuracy was good but not elite, doesn't run fast, he had zero athleticism, was a late-round draft. You know who he used to hear early in his career? Oh, he's not great. He's winning because of the team around him. Tom Brady. We were saying that early in Tom Brady's career. A six-round draft pick. He's as slow as molasses. Doesn't have a cannon for the arm. But you know what he was elite at? Great pocket presence. But you know what he was elite at? Cerebral part of the game. Peyton Manning, Jalen Hurts, his appreciation of the cerebral part of the game. Why do we continue to underrate Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, look, I was critical of him coming out. I said when he came out that I didn't think he was ever going to be the quarterback of a Super Bowl contending team. I was wrong. And what I've seen in the last couple of years of Jalen Hurts is a guy that continues to elevate his game. We know he's a hell of an athlete. We know that he can run. We know that he's strong. He does a lot of things well. I didn't know how well he could pass, and I think he's consistently gotten better in every aspect of the passing game. But when you see the throws that he made when they were making their runs, he won a lot of football games by throwing the football too, and that's taking out the Saquon, you know, last year. He, both in the Super Bowl they lost, Super Bowl they won, he made a hell of a lot of throws that won them football games. And so I have to admit I was wrong there.
I just don't know how Jalen Hurts is 9. It's trivial. Trivial to me.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
What's that?
It's Robert De Niro. Yeah. Disrespect.
What movie?
I believe that was...
Goodfellas?
No, I don't think it was Goodfellas. I thought it was This or something. I don't know.
Josh from Philly, just want to say we appreciate you taking up for our boy out here in Philly. The world doesn't seem to understand.
Our boy, right?
Please stop saying Alan Jackson. Did I say Alan Jackson?
Because you were rattling off quarterback names. I almost did it. I knew you guys were going to
kill me for it. It's happened several times. Yeah, sometimes I'm unavoidable in these rankings.
Alan Jackson. I'm going to start flipping them. Jackson Allen from now on. You're out of your mind. Hurts ahead of Burrow. That's not a real take. Real take, man. Real take. I'd rather have – and look, I haven't spent time in an elevator with Jalen Hurts even. Like, I am taking my elevator bias out of this conversation for a moment. Joe Burrow and I spent seconds together in a Northern Kentucky elevator. I am taking that encounter out of this conversation because I'm fair. I'm fair. And I think Jalen Hurts is a guy who I'd rather have under center than Joe Burrow if I were running a football team.
Boom. There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
There you go. Lance knows ball, too. Lance is willing to tip his cap, and he knows ball when he sees it. Lance does. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Cash him or trash him coming up next. Joe Burrow, cash or trash, is worse than Jalen Hurts. Cash or trash, Jalen Hurts is the next Tom Brady. I'm kidding. I'm kidding a little bit.
Trash.
Cash or trash with the B. 713-780-3776. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? Killer B's ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. Texture, there's not a GM in the NFL that would take Jalen Hurts over Burrow today. Not one. I know one. I know one that would. Howie Roseman. Think Howie Roseman trading Jalen Hurts for Joe Burrow today?
Probably not.
No chance. No chance. Ain't happening. All right, cash or trash? What do you got?
All right, boys. I've got last year, the Texans were in the top 5 for most sacks allowed for the season. They were tied for 3rd. Bears, Browns, Seahawks, Texans, Patriots. This year,
let's do it. Okay.
The Texans will not be one of the 5 most sacked, or the line responsible for one of the 5 teams with the 5 most sacks.
So they could be 6?
They'll be 6. Outside of the top.
Outside of the top, bottom 5.
I cash that.
I guess by the technicality, they could be still bad. because they give up the sixth most sacks. I also
it's an improvement from last year.
And you look at the Bears gave up 68 sacks last year. Texans gave up 54. Still way too many, obviously. But I think that continuity-wise, I'll buy in enough to say they won't be in the bottom five.
Yeah, I will cash that. I think they're going to be better at that specifically because I think Kaylee's going to be better at scheming it than Slowick. So I'll cash it.
Football is football.
Football is football. Did you cash it already?
Yeah, I cashed it already.
Oh, you jumped the line.
No, I said it after you did.
All right.
Thank you for paying attention.
Damian Pierce will have more total yards than two Texans running backs. Not. I'm going to give you their name specifically. Not combined. I'm not saying Pierce is going to have more combined yards than both of these guys. I'm saying Pierce is going to have more total yards than these two guys on the total yard list at the end of the year. Damian Pierce is going to have more total yards than Nick Chubb and Woody Marks.
So
it could be second.
And that's just yards from scrimmage, right?
Not
return yardage?
No, that'd be all-purpose yards.
No, total yards.
Okay, I'm going to trash it. Trash.
Why?
Because I think he definitely has the chance to have more than Woody Marks. But I think that Chubb is still going to be a guy that they're gonna stick with, and he's going to get the ball more.
So you go Chubb over Pierce.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it as well.
Trash.
I think this could be kind of like going back to the O'Brien days when they had David Johnson. Just because he's ineffective or inefficient doesn't mean they're going to go away from the veteran. I think D'Amico as a coach, especially as a defensive coach, the veteran, tough nose, hard-running Nick Chubb, like I think he's going to get enough chances to nerf that possibility. I don't think Damian Pierce is going to get enough work to have more yards than both those guys.
Okay.
I think Pierce could be a better running back than Nick Chubb, no doubt. I just don't know if he's going to get the opportunity.
Just remember this one.
That's fine. Why? I can see you. I know what write it down means.
Writing it down.
Why are you air miming it? Write it down.
I like to talk with my hands. What do you got?
I got two if we got time. But I don't want to get too far into the numbers here because it'll get way too nerdy. But I think some of fantasy scoring for football is completely broken, especially with quarterback and wide receiver. Like the way quarterbacks get for yards, the rushing yards, the 1 per 10, like running backs do, can take a quarterback who performs pretty poorly overall, but boost them up to having a great fantasy day. And same thing in like PPR leagues where a guy catches a bunch of short screens and he just 1 point, 1 point, 1 point, 1 point. It drives me crazy when teams with mediocre players who play poorly get boosted up because the PPR and the quarterback rushing.
Huh? What's the fix? What do you suggest? What do you propose?
I would propose quarterback yardage gets grouped together. So it's 1 point for all your yardage combined. Like you group rushing in with passing.
Okay.
And I've also, and people in my league hate this idea, well, most of them, but I would also tier PPR where you don't get the full point unless it's so far beyond the line of scrimmage.
That's nuanced.
It is, which I think people aren't willing to look into. But like if you catch a 1 yard screen pass and fall down, that shouldn't be worth the same as catching a contested pass 20 yards down the field.
I do think PPR is flawed. I would agree with that. But I trashed the other thing. I don't know.
You cashed one, trashed the other?
Yeah, just trash in general.
Trash. Trashing it all too.
That's fair.
Trash.
I'm not a huge PPR fan, but it also like it is the rule. Like so you can adjust based on Raw is gonna have more value in a PPR than Nico Collins.
Yeah.
So you can kind of tear it off. You're upset that Amon Ra has more value than Nico Collins?
No, I'm upset.
I know. I'm kidding.
Yeah. What game are you watching in there?
I'm watching the Mariners and the Orioles.
The Mariners come back?
They got two on and nobody out in the ninth, and they're down three.
Oof. Don't like that.
Cash or trash. Leagues that play two flexes and no defense are better.
I'll cash it. I don't like defenses.
Depends on the league. Replay league, I'm cool with that. Like a dynasty league with a bunch of history, I'm trashing that.
You want team defenses in dynasty?
I mean, if it's been the fixture of a league for 25 years,
but you want defenses in dynasty though specifically.
Yeah, if it's been a fixture of the league for 25 years, I don't want to change what the
but
history
keeping,
of the league. I'm not
going to keeping
in the
an
face
entity
of the
where the name
of the league.
Like dynasty to me, you're keeping one specific player versus a group of players. That's weird.
It's kind of a hybrid dynasty replay.
Okay.
It's not what you're thinking of where you draft the player and then you keep them forever.
Oh, so it's more keeper.
It's very nuanced and I don't want to dive into the semantics of it. It would bore our listeners. 713-780 ESPN. Texas says just draft better, Brian. It's a great call. Good point. You should know the rules ahead.
I still win leagues. I just don't.
Sure.
Oh, there's your flex. I still win leagues.
I do. It's just the scoring could be better.
Usually quarterbacks get less per yard for passing than they do rushing. That's Brian's point, though. He's saying that you shouldn't get
yeah, it should all count the same.
The ball. Texture says we drop kickers all together in one league. We do more of
those.
Good
for you.
I like the no kicker leagues. But again, if you have a league that has history with kickers, I don't think you should change it. I think it should be the replay leagues.
I boot the kickers all out of all the leagues I run.
You're not a traditionalist, I see.
No, not at all.
Not a traditionalist. 713-780-ESPN. Texter says, cash or trash, I should get the two tickets to the listener party. If you win, men of the people later.
Trash.
You're not getting it because you asked nicely. We're not into niceties here.
Did they ask nicely or just say, I should get? That's kind of demanding.
But he's cash or trash, so it's kind of asking.
Okay. Yeah, trashing
it, though. That wasn't a demand. I didn't read it as a demand. Cash or trash, by the time Mahomes retires, he dethrones Brady as the GOAT.
Trash it.
I think he has a
trash.
Shot.
He's got a shot, but I don't think he's going to win the Super Bowls.
But do you have to win as many Super Bowls for him to dethrone Brady? Like, Jordan doesn't have as many as Bill Russell, right?
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
He's the, I mean, we
like 11 to 6, I think.
And it's Russell doesn't have the numbers, but I don't think that he has to get to Brady's Super Bowl titles for some to think that he is dethroned Brady.
How many does he have to get to, though?
Brady has how many?
7.
Mahomes currently has?
3.
I think he needs to get
5?
To at
he's
least
got 7,
5.
Been to 9?
Yeah. Brady went to 9, yeah. He lost twice to the Giants.
To Eli, specifically.
Yeah. yeah, damn it.
I think he needs to get at least 5 for us to have a conversation.
I would agree with that.
And then we need to see the number. But the numbers to me aren't the same. Like, it's not apples to apples. Like, the passing numbers should be way higher in Mahomes' era than Brady's era. And I know they crossed over a little bit, but the NFL is much more pass happy in the years that Mahomes is going to be in the league than Brady. So the numbers to me aren't the same. They're not equivalent.
I just feel like, aside from all of that, I think Mahomes will have stats, but I think that, you know, and Brady played to what, 40?
I think he was older than
42,
that, right?
40, I think.
Yeah, I don't know that Mahomes is going to play that long. I just feel like the combination of all the Super Bowls and the numbers that Mahomes, you're right, he has a shot. I just don't think he's going to get there.
Yeah, I would say that he does it, but I do think it's in play. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, unanimous. I don't think he does because I don't think he can get to 7. I don't think he can get to 6, but it's definitely in play.
Let's cash or trash some of these NFL overreactions from what people have seen around the preseason. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, look, we know it is hot. We know that Key from L.A. wanted the roof open last night, but that's because he's just not smart. The fact is that it is extremely hot outside right now, and we are battling the dog days. And with that being said, you need to make sure that you fight the heat that's out there by making sure your AC unit is up to snuff, that everything is good with it, and if it's not, you can trust people that are going to take care of it. That's why I recommend Temperature Pro. Temperature Pro are the best in the business. They cover all over the city of Houston, and they are going to do everything for you. They are you can trust them. First of all, their ratings are fantastic. They've been in business for over 20-plus years, so they have all the experience. Better Business Bureau, A+. They've got great ratings. But the trust factor is something that always plays in because you don't want a company that you just are uncertain about when they show up to do the work for you because then you don't know if they're actually doing and you need what they're recommending. That's why I recommend Temperature Pro. Not only is everything that I've just told you true, but I also trust them and I can tell you why because I know the owner personally and I grew up with him back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. John Blitz is the owner. John Blitz is going to treat you right. How do I know this? Because I know that everybody that I've sent to use Temperature Pro and recommended that John get involved with, John has taken care of, and they are satisfied and extremely happy with the customer service, the work done, and the fact that they use all the top brands, like Trane, Carrier, Daikin, Goodman, and Lennox. And they're offering fantastic financing, too. 12 months, no payments, no interest. Check out the warranties they give you as well. So it's not just a fly-by-night company that does the work and then you're on your own if something happens. The warranties are fantastic. Put your AC needs in the trusted hands of a company that I'm telling you can trust. It's Temperature Pro. My friend John Blitz is going to take care of you. He's going to do it right. Go to blitzproservices.com right now, blitzproservices.com, or better yet, call him on the easy-to-remember phone number, 281-247-5925, 281-247-5925, Temperature Pro Houston.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.